You know, as with everything else that ebbs and flows, having good staff that's reliable also ebbs and flows. So when I can, I take advantage of it.
Solid.
Cheers. Into the bottoms.
Cheers.
I've often wondered if cheersing is going to go away post-pandemic. Clearly not.
No. I mean, I've been, like, depending on who it is, like, with my partner, we just, I mean, you know, whatever. It doesn't matter. But, like, with other people, I just, like, the bottoms of cups or glass, like, things like that.
Yeah.
But at this point, if you have, like, core groups of people, oh, for myself at least, with core groups of people, we share drinks and all that stuff at this point because it's kind of...
Wait, you're sharing drinks?
Yeah, totally.
See, I don't think I'm ever going to get... A, that's not the point of this podcast, but B, I also don't ever think that we're going to get mentally, in my mind, I'm never going to get back to, like, I'll share drinks with you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. You'll have to make me my own. See what I did there?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't really, I don't really care.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I also, it's going to be weird seeing people making food without a mask on.
Yeah.
That's being so close to the coffee, I agree.
Yeah.
As a barista, I feel very comfortable wearing a mask because now everything is so close to me.
Do I hate it? Yeah. Anyway, I'm James.
I'm Amy.
And this is
Prashanthi Reddy
from
Makeda and Mingus.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's great to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you. You're actually the first guest that I don't personally know.
How exciting.
I'm so excited.
I know. You've known all the other guests?
A little bit, at the very least.
And you're just like, telling me this now?
I've spent a little bit of time with everybody prior.
Okay, that's right.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. Let's see. Where are we starting? Well, okay, so not that you have to, like, tell us any of your specific plans, but, like, have you guys thought about your rollout and all that sort of stuff in terms of what happens next?
We have been thinking about it because we still have not opened up the insides.
Mm-hmm.
So what that would look like, we have one of those long, narrow, I think they call it railroad-style shops, so there's not a lot of room for people to walk around each other.
What is a railroad style shop? Sorry. Hold on.
I think we need to back up here for a second. Let's talk about what Makeda and Mingus is first, and then we can talk about the railroad style.
It's an experience. And if you haven't been there yet, I highly recommend you come and experience it.
So what do people experience in the experience?
Mostly community.
Mm-hmm.
It's the place, we're a coffee shop primarily. Right. And we're one of 11, maybe 12 or 13 coffee shops in Greenwood. But people come to our shop to hang out with the neighbors, to meet dogs. We have a lot of folks who bring their dogs and socialize there. And it truly feels like a landing spot for catching up with your neighbors. And in the before times.
I'm sorry? And their dogs.
And their dogs, for sure. We've had a few adoptions even happen, like, around the shop. Like, someone's adopted or need to rehome their dog. So that's the spot for that.
That's adorable.
Yeah. I think one of the main reasons I reached out is I resonated with the dog aspect of it, you know. So it's great. Is that sufficient for you, Amy?
Yes. Well, it wasn't for me. I know what they do, but somebody at home listening may
that's
not
fair.
Have known the context of
Yeah, somebody asked me before, kind of just like how these conversations are set up.
Yeah.
It's like, there's no setup. It just kind of happens.
Conversation flows.
Yeah. And so it's kind of tough sometimes because the context isn't there because we're like, sometimes we converse for like 20 minutes prior to even starting to record. So that kind of gets lost. But that's why Amy's here because she's way better at this than I am.
That's not true.
That is. But what is railroad style?
It's long and narrow. Okay. So you walk in where it's maybe about 10 feet wide, but about, I have to do math. We'll say 55 feet long.
Okay.
So, yeah. And then half of that width is taken up by the bar and the machine. So sure. We don't have a lot of space for folks to walk around each other or socially distance.
Yeah.
But as our vaccination rates are going up in the neighborhood and in the north end of Seattle, we're feeling more comfortable with maybe starting to open up either half of it or what that would look like. So as long as we all stay, well, we are all 100% vaxxed.
Yeah.
Everyone who works there.
Yeah. I mean, we're also talking about kind of what it looks like. So we're actually having a meeting real soon to have a big discussion on what that looks like. Because end of the month is technically, you know, it's the purge.
But just because it's the end of the month and we're there doesn't mean we have to be there as business owners, right?
Right.
Correct. And it's really interesting trying to get a feel for what people want, because a lot of kiddos aren't vaxxed yet. So where can their kids go inside safely? Where is your business located, right? And who do you serve? So we do get a lot of kids that come in, after school or before school, because everything's on a bridge schedule. So what works best for everyone there?
Yeah, that's a huge thing for us too. I think one of the main reasons we're not planning on opening for a bit is because our neighborhood is either a little bit older or there's a lot of young families. Yep. So this entire pandemic, we've only had one person ever enter our premises, including vendors, and it was a little kid. He's 2. Okay, so what does Makeda and Mingus mean?
So I'm going to go back a little bit prior to that. We started as Makeda Coffee.
Yes.
And Makeda is the name of the Queen of Sheba, and the area of Sheba is now Ethiopia and Eritrea, where coffee was first discovered. It's also my favorite coffees are from Ethiopia. And I wanted something that was less Eurocentric and more towards the origins of coffee. Mm-hmm. So I went with Makeda. And over the years, folks have come in whose name is Makeda. And they're like, oh, are you Ethiopian? And I was like, oh, no, I'm not. I just really love Ethiopian coffees. And I wanted to name the shop that was more indicative of just the culture of coffee.
Yeah, yeah. Is Makeda the correct pronunciation?
Yes.
Makeda and Mingus then?
Yep.
Okay.
And Mingus is the name of my dog. He's named after Charles Mingus, the jazz musician. And when I started doing Indian food dinners at the shop, folks were like, we don't think about getting food or beer in a place that has coffee in its name. So I rebranded to Makeda and Mingus. If you don't know my dog, who is also the logo, people generally know Mingus as the jazz musician. And we used to have open mic nights and craft nights and a lot of things around art that we would do there. So it seemed to flow. And it's alliteration. So
yeah. So like everything just kind of falls into place.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does your dog know that he's famous?
He, right? Okay, it's definitely gone to his head. I now call him my boss. He's a terrier.
Oh, okay. He's 3/4 terrier, so I get that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a little butthole. Cute. Do you allow dogs like in the shop? Or
we do allow them if they're on a leash.
Right. Pretty loosely.
Yeah.
I feel it. Yeah. I mean, when we're open for dine-in, like they're in the foyer. Mm-hmm. A little bit here and there, so. But
you also have a business named after a dog.
I do.
This is amazing.
I think the most annoying question, I don't know if you get this a lot, is Watson here right now? It's like, lady, I'm working.
Okay.
The dog is not here right now because I cannot cannot handle a dog and a business, as well as there's like health issues with that.
But he's so cute. That's why they're asking.
But he's such a butthole. That's the thing is that you don't get in photos, that he's such a butthole.
I believe it. I haven't even seen him, and I believe it.
Yeah. Like, he knows he's cute, and so he's just always yap, yap, yapping. It's nuts. So one thing I noticed about Makeda and Mingus, did I say that right?
Yeah.
Is that you do, like, these, like, theme things. So you had a Gilmore Girls one prior. I know, once my girlfriend listens to this, she's going to be like, let's go. But I'm going to break her heart because right now you have the Bluth's banana stand.
Correct.
What else have you done?
What? How did I miss this?
I don't know.
I thought I did my research. Yeah, apparently not.
Those are the two big ones that we've done.
Okay.
I don't think we've had other big ones. But what we do is our annual Diva Night celebration, which is our anniversary party.
Oh.
So come dress as your favorite diva, and people have really come out with some great costumes. One of my favorites was wearing a Notorious RBG t-shirt, a big purple tutu, and loud pink tights.
That's awesome. What are we defining as diva?
Loosely defined as whatever you would like whatever to dress up as. Yeah.
And you do that as like an anniversary thing?
Yeah.
Because you're, what, 6, 7 years deep now?
13.
Oh, wait a second. Whoa.
We just hit 13.
Why did I think it was only like 6, 7 years then? Is that when the name change happened?
Yes.
Okay. Got it. 13 years.
Yeah.
Same spot.
Yep.
It's very impressive.
Yeah. Sometimes I look back and I was like, what else have I done for 13 years?
Yeah, that's true.
It's hard.
Yeah. I mean, the longest job I ever held, I think, was like 5 years.
Same.
Yeah, and my mom worked in her job for like 30 something years.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh man. I have like no stick-to-itiveness. But
is that good or bad?
I think it's just the change of the times.
It's just our culture.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no like gold watch jobs anymore.
My mom really wants me to work for the post office.
You should.
No.
Yeah.
Just give up this glamorous pandemic event planner life that I have.
Come on. But those bennies.
Right.
That pension. I was going to ask. Because prior to starting, we're just kind of like working our way backwards here, right?
Yeah.
So prior to this, you're working as a researcher, right? Nope, not research. No, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, because I saw that in your thing. What was your like research?
I was doing clinical research in pharmas. Basically, I was working at the tail end of drug discovery before drugs were approved by FDA to be on the market. So watching this whole last year, aside from the shit show that was this pandemic,
sure,
the drug discovery and drug development going through its process was really fascinating because I was working between, it's been so long I can't remember the department, but before drugs were put on market.
So yeah.
We collect all the data, and then we had the data scientists who would do all the number crunchings. But basically, I was a monitor. So you'd make sure that the sites who had the doctors and the nurses and the population were doing things according to the protocol so that once it got to FDA, you could see that everything was in compliance and all the numbers, how they matched up.
Yeah.
How does one transition from that to coffee?
That's a really good question. So I graduated college and I got this job working in pharma. And 6 months in, I really hadn't made any friends. And I mean, I had some friends, but like corporate America is still kind of like high school where you eat lunch with the right people and you talk to the right people and you get promoted and all that stuff. Can I
also really quickly interject and say,
yeah,
I had the exact same experience.
Yeah.
Because I worked in biotech and I made like no friends.
You know.
And the ones that were there were too weird to become friends with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They may have said that about you.
That's totally fine. It's not wrong. We're just different weirds. So
this was in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and my cousins used to hang out at this coffee shop downtown, and they were like, yeah, just go hang out there. So I went there on a Friday night. They were looking for baristas, and I was like, oh, this would be like a fun thing to do. So I was like, I'm going to do this for 6 months, and then I'm going to quit. 5 years later. So I never quit that job, and I ended up doing both jobs for the whole time that I lived there in Ann Arbor. I just loved working in this coffee shop.
How long did you work at that shop then?
5 years.
5 years.
Yep. Nights and weekends.
Dang. Nights at the coffee shop?
Yeah, that was open till midnight. Wow. So
what? Was it by like a university or something?
Yeah,
or?
It was at University of Michigan.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Got it.
How did you end up in Seattle?
Oh, I met a dude, followed a dude out here. We were together for a while, broke up, and I just loved Seattle so much. So I'm originally from New Jersey.
Where in New Jersey?
A small town called Long Valley, up north by Morristown.
Gotcha. It's
the biggest town by there. And anywhere I've lived outside of that New Jersey, New York area is not New York. So I've always gone back. right? Went to school in Pennsylvania, moved back, lived in Ann Arbor, moved back. And then when I moved out here, this was so not New York, and I loved it.
Yeah.
And I think it was that age time, too, right? I moved out here in my early 30s, and maybe that 20s is starting to wear off a little bit, and I love being here. So I've been here 17 years now.
Wow. So did you, so when you moved here, did you go straight into like coffee or did you go into pharmaceuticals?
Nope. I went straight into coffee.
Can I ask where your first look, like I can bleep it out too if you don't want, totally. But like where your first coffee job was here?
I was working at Zoca in Green Lake.
Oh.
Oh.
So do you know Dismas?
Yeah.
Oh man. Dismas is my boy.
So Dismas, I think had just left Zoca when I had just started. We always knew who each other was.
Okay.
Anyway, long story short, I'm pretty sure he's had a key to Makeda longer than I have.
Okay.
He still has a key to the shop.
He probably doesn't know that. I can guarantee you he doesn't know that.
When I'm in a bind, I'll call him and be like, can you work for me? Or can you do something for me? So then he'll pop in and he'll,
Dude, he's like the nicest guy.
He really is.
Yeah. I miss him. I hope he's listening to this and so he can say hello. But yeah. So then you were at Zoca.
I was Zoca for 5 years.
Okay. And then?
I quit Zoca just after the Giants beat the Patriots. Just had to put it out there.
Oh, football. I was thinking baseball. Okay. Great. No, love football, that one. That's just a way better reference.
I convinced everyone at the Green Lake Zoca store to come watch with me. And Trish was there, who is a dear friend and my coffee mentor. And she's like, I don't care about football, but I'm really worried about you because you guys are going to get creamed. And I was like, no, we're not. We're going to win. And we totally won. And I think I was riding that high. And then I quit Zoca. And I was just quite unsure of what I was going to do. Then that Easter, Trish and I were having dinner together, and she noticed a roaster and coffee shop for sale on Craigslist. And this was back in the late aughts, right? So we were still using Craigslist and all of that stuff. And so we just went to go casually check it out. And it was the old 7 spot, which is now my spot.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to be a roaster. I'm not a roaster. I'm a barista. That's my craft.
Totally. Same.
So talked to Sean. He wanted to expand his wholesale business for 7 roasters. So we worked out a deal. He kept 7, the roaster, and I just bought the retail space.
Cool. Wait, so is the 7 roast right there?
They used to.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, no, but I think they're anymore. In South Seattle now.
Gotcha. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Got it. Yeah, so you just kind of took that dive.
Yeah.
That's so brave.
You know, we were just having this conversation yesterday. In general, how much stupidity or lack of foresight is included under the umbrella term bravery?
82% to 87%.
Ooh.
I was going 30% to 50%, but you know, it could be higher.
I guess it depends on who you are, you know? Like, I have a lot of friends who I'm like, I love you, but you're a dumb dude, right? But they, if they're jumping in headstrong and they're ready for it, like, no matter what happens, as long as they're pushing through these things, like they succeed.
Yeah.
Right. There's a lot of like grit and determination that definitely can far surpass like intelligence and planning. But not that any of us are those people, but.
But grit and determination without any brains behind it can be really the wrong thing.
It can be, but it can also work, especially if you have like the right privilege or the right opportunity too.
Those people drive me crazy.
Yeah, for sure. But people can make wrong choices all the time. And if you have a fallback, like if you have people to fall back on, right?
Right. I save the wrong choices for my dating life, not business.
That's true.
And I should say not currently.
So if a certain currently. Somebody is listening.
Not currently. Previously,
yeah.
Not currently.
Going into it, though, did you – I know we'll touch upon the marketing aspect of it, but what were some of the other things that you kind of thought, like, this is what I'm ready for, and then it just kind of, like, kicked in the face?
Day one, it's like, how do you put out a schedule? and how all of a sudden, so I also inherited the staff from
okay,
seven.
That was actually one of the questions I had too. Yeah. Like, yeah.
And they were doing it one way, and all of a sudden I'm the boss. So they're like, how do you want this done? I'm like, I don't know. How do you do it? And there was this wonderful 20-year-old on staff who pulled me aside one day and was like, so this is how we do things, but we also need to know how you want us to do things because you're our boss right now. And I was like, oh, right. Okay.
That's actually really awesome of you to be like, well, how do you do it?
Right?
Yeah.
We all know how to do our craft, but when you get plucked out of one setting and into another, it's everything from like, where is my bleach rag? Where do I mm-hmm. go? Before you start to like, it starts to feel natural stepping into that space.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know how many managers I've trained for coffee shops, but every time it's, hey, you're the new manager. This staff has been functioning without you. Just chill and see what they do. And then like you insert yourself, don't take over. And they're like, got it. And they go there and like, do this, do that, do this, do that. And I'm like, man. And then everyone quits. You know, yep. like it's yep. like that. They're like, why are they flipping the script when we've been successful?
But I have a question. And this is actually for both of you because you both have gone out on your own and started a coffee shop. And when you did it, was the intention that there was something missing? Either the location had a void that needed to be filled, or you wanted to do something differently that other coffee shops weren't doing, or was there that thing, or it was just, I want to have good coffee?
It's neither. I mean, I didn't even have that much foresight. Mine was, this is what I love doing. I struggled through 4 years of doing engineering as my undergrad. I worked in corporate and it was fine, right? I was good at my job. It was not great or awful. But when I worked in coffee shops, like that's when I felt like I came alive. And having those micro conversations with people that, you know, like that phrase, intimate strangers, people come in daily or every weekend or once a month and you get to know them on a somewhat intimate level.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you all are still strangers. Like you get spit out into the city, and you don't really know each other. You're not a part of each other's circles or families, but you kind of are.
You ever like run into people out in public and they don't recognize you because they see your legs?
Always.
Yeah. That's like the main thing. They see your legs and they're like, oh my God, yeah, you're a real person. Like I had a regular who I saw literally every single day for 2 years.
Yeah.
And then she somehow became friends with my friends. And so we met and I was like, hey, how you been? And she's like, do we know each other? I was like, girl, I made your chai every day for like 2 years.
Yeah.
She was like, oh my God, I didn't even recognize you. I was like, how? But yeah.
But it sounds like ultimately you did want to create something and that was community. So
yeah. So my manager, when I was at Zoka, when I told him that I was going to buy the shop, he was like, well, what do you want? I was like, I want one of those old school coffee shops. I hadn't discovered specialty coffee till I moved to Seattle. And the scene is a little bit different, right? It's like good coffee or creating the spot that people want to come and try all this great coffee. And I was like, I really miss the community aspect of it. Mm. And he's like, then allow the neighborhood to own the shop. Oh. So it's like, not what do I like? I don't like bananas. I don't like banana bread, but I'm not buying it, right? So what does the neighborhood want? So he kind of set the initial foundation of knowing what your customers would like and really what does ownership mean? It's not just paying the rent and paying your taxes and signing all the checks. It's really folks feel like they have a part of their heart and soul is in that shop too.
Yeah.
And it's everything from in the early days when we got broken into to if I post something personal on Facebook, like folks will leave their homes, come into the shop to check on us. Or if there's like a flood, whatever may be happening, like folks come in, they're like, what do we need to do to keep the shop running? And I had a cancer scare. I don't have cancer. But those 5 days, people were like, we're going to go get our health card and we're going to learn how to make coffee. And I'm sitting here like, I don't know how to process this. Wow. I don't know what's happening in my body. I don't know what's happening out here. I'm going to go home. And they're like, we got this. We'll figure this out. Dang. And we didn't have to do that. But I keep thinking about that's what ownership is. It's not just how we operate in this capitalistic system,
mm-hmm.
right? And there are certain responsibilities and stresses and whatnot, but honestly, we all share this. So,
well, that brings up, do you think that the customer is always right?
I don't. I definitely don't. But there is always room for conversation. There's always room for, I don't always think that what we remember is how we remember it.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that there's always room for a respectful conversation.
Yeah.
In there. I will always err on the side of the customer. But depending on how the conversation goes, I may not want them back.
Right? Do you, have you kicked people out?
I have.
Nice. You're living my dream.
You've never kicked anybody out?
No. I mean, except for like, hey, you've been sitting at this table too long, Amy.
You did that to me.
Yeah, I did that to you.
did you know that was coming?
I did.
I wasn't even going to bring it up.
I was so ready for that. Once you asked that, I was like, I get it. Besides that, actually, one of my biggest regrets is not kicking somebody out.
Yep.
Because we had, because I love my team. And one of the girls got yelled at by a lady. And I didn't even see it happen. And she just was like, she came to me and she was crying. I was like, what happened? She's like, this lady's just like in my face. She keeps bugging me about getting a table. And I was furious, but I didn't. Because this is like, we're very, very early on. And I was really afraid of like the whole negative review aspect.
Yep.
And so I didn't take any action. But now, if I remember her face, I would never let her back in. Just the pure disrespect to somebody who's busting their butt. And you're just mad because you got in line late.
I'm very mama bear about my staff. If you are not treating them right, we're done. I don't need your business. I need
without
staff.
Our staff, nobody is getting served.
Yeah.
I don't understand the whole yelling at staff or treating them like they're not smart. They are smarter than you, the customer, because they know how the place runs and they know what's available.
For sure.
Like when I walk into a place, that's what's happening. Yeah. I don't know what's happening there, right?
I love going into like a new place, especially coffee shops, because everybody runs their shops differently, right? And almost treating them like a concierge service and being like, you tell me what my experience should be and I would love that.
Yep.
Because that's because some places specialize in certain things and some places don't, you know, and they just, everybody has a thing that they want to showcase. Like, because you always say that people do it because they like want to like show a craft or express something that they love, right? And why, like, it's like, when you go to a Thai restaurant, you're like, pad Thai. That's all I order.
Yeah. Right? Right.
Or like, I'll have like the naan and just like a curry. It's like, that's all. Okay. All right. There's a whole menu that's awesome, but that's fine.
Yeah. No. People do not go into business to like not bring something great to the world.
Yeah.
True.
I think what's really interesting about what you said about your style of ownership, I think it contrasts a lot of others in the sense that what I'm feeling is a sense that, so a lot of business owners will say, myself included, is that like, I have this vision for what I want and this is the space that I want to create. And I want people to come and experience this space that I've created. But I feel kind of dumb because what you're saying to me sounds like I am here to allow the neighborhood to create a space that they want to be in. And so for me, I feel like a clown of just being like, here's my show. And for you, you're like, I'm a facilitator. Like you're facilitating the neighborhood's needs and their desires and things like that. And that's really awesome.
Thanks. It's partially selfish because I like to say my life is a constant coffee break. So I can just pop into the shop and have coffee with whoever is hanging out there.
Mm.
Or just through the busy day, just take some time and ground and then go about the next thing that's there. But I think there's a place for all of us, right? Like I love fine dining. I love going somewhere and being told like where to sit and how to eat and what courses, you know, what sequence to eat my food in.
Yeah.
But there's a space for all of us to be able to do that because as humans, we're not monoliths. Like we're not going out to fine dining every day. We're not making our food every single day. I mean, I'm sure people are, but the folks who are going out there visiting all of these small businesses, like I definitely like a variety.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, variety is a spice of life, right?
It really is.
Yeah. So with all that, you talked about how you did not like marketing.
I don't.
So you said it feels really icky.
Uh-huh.
But you hit a turning point with that, right? So how did you, because I'm very much against paid marketing personally. Mm-hmm. To me, that feels icky. And so this is a selfish question of, I'm trying to learn something from you right now.
Yeah.
Of how did you find the balance or the difference between like an icky marketing and a non-icky style of marketing?
It was a journey, as most things are in my life. So I didn't really market. And then in 2016, as the city was growing astronomically, my business started to tank. Just the demographics changed, people's schedules changed. And I can get into like why later. But I'm a graduate of Ventures, which is a nonprofit based out of South Seattle. And they teach solo entrepreneurs who, like me, have a craft. They want to make a business out of it. They teach us how to be business people because we already have the craft down.
Right.
So I took their classes in 2011. And then in 2016, I went back for a marketing class. And our teacher asks everyone, what do you think about marketing? And most everyone was like, I love marketing. It's going to help me in my business. And I was like the second to last person. And I was like, I think I'm an anomaly because I don't like marketing. I don't want to do it. But my business needs to survive. And she goes, thank you, because most people don't like marketing. And she's like, I was wondering what I was going to start teaching in this class. So then we started talking about the ickiness, and she was a great teacher and taught us how to, like, why we as humans don't like marketing. Either we feel smarter than, like, the ads on TV or, like, big box stores and how they market. And one of the exercises was, what are some small businesses you like? Do you subscribe to their newsletters? What do you like about them? And I was like, oh, yeah, Central Cinema over on 20th and Union. I love going there. I loved going there in the before times. But being able to know what their schedule is or what they're showing and all of those things. Yeah. It was like, so that started getting me thinking of, there are businesses that I want to know what they are doing. So how can I start getting that messaging out? So that was like the turning point in my mind of how can I market well? And then by the end of, I think, I can't remember, it was a 10-week class or a 15-week class. I felt well,
it's like
pretty
it's a college quarter.
It was.
Yeah.
And we did a deep dive into what good marketing is, how that looks, and the transparency of marketing. But by the end of it, I felt like I could stand behind my brand and I could stand behind the posts that I was making on social media.
Totally.
Because prior to that, I'd hit send and I'd be like cringing in my own skin. Like no one could see me, but I was just like, oh, here we go. Come give me your dollars.
Right? Yeah.
But now like I've developed the recipes based on family, how my family cooks. Mm-hmm. I'm able to speak to it from my family language, but also what the tastes are and whatnot. And I don't have a restaurant background. I just like to eat. So I feel good about that. And I feel proud of what I can do and generally pretty awkward. So it's like, come along for the ride of like, as we fumble through this.
Yeah.
So
is the food menu something that that came throughout the pandemic, or is it something you were doing prior as well?
The Thursday night dinners I was doing prior, I really want to save our family recipes. And it's not like restaurant quality food, but when we eat at home, there's two things that happen. One is really nourishing, but two, we get to sit around the table, and I come from a really big family, right? So you laugh and you joke and you cry and you throw punches at each other over the dinner table.
Yes, family.
So it was a way to say, for me to preserve what my grandmother used to make. And I feel like I have this unique experience of having lived in India in the 80s, just like a couple decades after it became a country, after the British rule and partition and all of that. So the old school ways of India, which it's progressed so fast over the last 40 years.
Yeah.
But the first time my friends took me camping, after 2 days, I was like, why are we doing this? This is how my grandmother lived. Like literally, we'd cook on a fire stove, we'd take a lamp and we'd go pee in the middle of the night and make sure there were no bugs in the toilet. Like I don't think this is fun, and I don't think my grandmother would approve of me doing this for fun. But having spent a lot of time with her and my mom in the kitchen, being able to, one, preserve those, and two, be able to cook like that for folks here has been really nice.
Yeah, yeah. Can I reject a notion, though?
Totally.
To say it's not restaurant-quality food, I think, is ridiculous. Mostly because I'm not going to pretend like I've had it, but I'm sure it's great because I've heard good things. But also, there are horrible restaurants out there, and I'll guarantee that it's better than a lot of those, only because you've been around and you've been successful, and it's a program that is successful and is thriving. And there's a lot of food programs out there that only survive because they got cocktails or, hey, you know, they got Amy. And
So is the person that does Seattle Cocktail Week. I take offense to that, but I think
I'm
the
just
point
saying
was
drink margins are way better than food margins is the point of that. But
I think there's a certain restaurantism or like the
polished look of it.
Yes.
And the sit down dining experience of it.
Yes. And this is more about the food and the community that it brings is my take on it.
It is. Also, I have taken a couple of classes in India, cooking classes.
Oh, nice.
And there's a distinction of the restaurants that we go to here are restaurant style food, and in quotes. So if you go to people's homes in India, north or south, they don't generally eat like how we do when we go to restaurants. Mm-hmm. It's its own classification of Indian food. So I don't know if that's so if people are going out, they're spending their money on something different than what they're making at home.
But I think that's any, well, maybe not any culture, but even, I think it's a lot of cultures. There's the restaurant foods,
that's
and
true.
Then there's like what we cook at home.
Right.
I'm not getting Kraft mac and cheese at.
You would be surprised.
Okay, maybe I am. I don't know. I don't cook at home, so.
I went to a teriyaki spot once. I won't say where it was. And I was like, you guys have ramen here? And then the lady in Korean was like, don't order that. It's just Shin Ramyun from the package. We just add a little bit of stuff to it. And I was like, good to know.
Hot tip.
Yeah. Thanks, Ajumma. She just like stopped me from spending $7 on a 99-cent meal.
Yeah. I never thought of that.
Yeah. The shortcuts in the restaurant game are, I don't want to get shot by anybody, so I'm going to stop there, but.
They exist.
They exist. Yeah, that's definitely the thing. Yeah. What's going through your brain?
I ate lunch at Watson's counter today.
Oh yeah, the deuces are exactly what you think they are. And what'd you get? An egg sandwich after that as well?
How'd you know what I got?
I see every order that comes through.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sandwich though is the best breakfast sandwich in the world.
Thanks. So do you feel like your social media game has changed a lot after, I know it's been like 5 years and social media itself is a different beast every year. Cause you're actually one of the few people who I know who are on TikTok.
Yes.
And that's the next game. I haven't looked at your TikTok yet, but it's overwhelming. The idea of making a video makes me want to cry.
What kind of content are you putting on TikTok?
How are you just doing like TikTok dances?
I don't dance.
I was kind of excited for that, but.
On TikTok, I just have a fun account right now. I have reserved the Makeda and Mingus handle, and we've thought about what kind of drinks we want to do, and my staff is really creative, so I think this summer we're going to start doing a little bit more of that kind of content. But my personal fun account is really just to learn how to do TikToks.
Oh, yeah.
And that algorithm is always changing, and the features on there are always changing, and I always need a teenager. Anytime there's a new social media, I find a 17-year-old or a 20-year-old, and I'm like, okay, here. I'm going to buy you a case of Coke. Tell me how this works.
As in Coca-Cola.
Coca-Cola. My favorite drink. So that's what I'm doing on TikTok right now. But watching my social medias, if I could sum up the marketing class was – a lot of small businesses will throw spaghetti at the wall and see what sticks and then keeps doing that until it falls off the wall. Mm-hmm. What I learned was how to market. So define what is it that your shop is doing and then market through that funnel. So that really helped kind of narrow down the noise of like, yeah, do I post about this? And I see this shop posting about that. Or, you know, we have some beautiful coffee shops in Seattle and they'll post their interiors and their plants and like their interior design game is on spot. Mine is not. But I was like, that's not my strength though. That's not what I'm putting my time and money to give the customer experience to, right? Right? So learning how to funnel my social media has been what has changed. Mm. And then being able to do that. Now it feels like a puzzle, like a fun puzzle. Like, what are we doing here? What can I convey to you? What will you find interesting?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I think like the learning like the algorithms and the SEO type stuff is, it's not fun.
That's not like, why we do what we do.
Exactly.
But we have to, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm very intentional about, you know, like half my staff is photographers. So I'm very intentional about not being like, hey, will you do this photography stuff? Because if their skills are that, the valuation of that work is much higher than what I'm paying them.
Yep.
You know, so yep. Try not to take advantage of your staff. That's definitely one thing I've learned at other coffee shops is like, don't do that.
Nope.
Because it happens a lot. So
valuing your team. I try to find what my staff is interested in, right? So if someone is interested in dogs, they've been doing a glow up of all of the pandemic critters, right? So it's like finding what you're interested in, because that's really what we're about, is we come as we are and we talk about our interests or what's, you know, making us go that day. So, and most of us do bond over dogs, but there are other things like puzzles. Puzzles have been a really big thing this pandemic. Mm-hmm. So I really encourage my staff, like, put that on social media, put it in the stories. Like, there are people who will respond to it. And a lot of times if people don't even react or respond on social media, they come in to talk to the baristas about the thing that they saw on social media.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of positive reinforcement for us for what we're doing.
Yeah. How is your staffing situation right now? I think the big meme that I see all the time right now is that it's really hard to hire.
I hired 4 people now.
Yeah.
Starting mid-pandemic last year.
Nice. So what do you feel that you offer that is so desirable? I think you can offer a lot of insight for people, because are you on the Washington State Barista Guild on Facebook?
I am.
Yeah. Those conversations are silly is what I'll say. But
how so?
I feel like it's a conversation we should have off the air, because a lot of people get mad at me. I just think it's silly sometimes. I think it's a lot of legitimate conversations. Sometimes it goes off the rails and I'm like, why are we doing this? Why am I getting a notification about this?
I'm going to try to relate it to another group that I belong to. And please, I think that there are people in all aspects of where they are in their business and the type of business that they have. So what?
Yeah, that's a very valid point. I think it's because sometimes it's coffee culture adjacent.
Yeah.
But it's not really. Yeah.
There's an intensity to it that takes away the fun of everything that we're doing.
It's so intense sometimes. It's,
mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
And I do what I do because I love doing it. And I do say, I'm living the dream. I don't make a ton of money. I could make a ton of money doing other things like being an engineer. But when you bring that intensity to this kind of format, it's not fun anymore.
Yeah.
And fun is what supplements the income, right? Right. Because I do feel like I am living out my dream. I feel like my life is a constant coffee break. It's great. But like, I don't have a lot of time for this stuff on the side that takes up so much energy. Like, I don't want to engage in the conflict. I don't want to engage in all of this intensity.
Yeah, I just want to like hang out, talk about coffee.
Yep.
Go golfing.
Yep.
Like,
do you golf?
Yeah. Huh.
I just feel like I'm learning so much about
this. Is why I tried to get, was that, never mind. Anyway,
yeah,
I want to be on that little charity thing you're doing.
I know, so what you're gonna say.
But I feel like our shop, like why people want to work there is because we are laid back like that.
Mm-hmm.
I like to say we are anal about being laid back. Like, yes, it's a job. Yes, we have health code to adhere to.
Of course.
Right? Company policies and all of those things. But there are very few things I do all by myself that I absolutely enforce. Everything else is open to interpretation, because I've already attracted the folks that come into the shop to see me, mm-hmm. to get my coffee, to see my show, right?
Yeah.
I want to get more people to come in to see what the other baristas have to offer. So I really do encourage them to, like, be who you are and be more of that.
So. More shops need to be like you.
And I also just don't want to worry about it when I'm not there.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to be like, this is how you greet a customer, and I need your drinks to be out in 3.2 minutes, and I need you to be doing, like, that's fine on paper, but it's not going to work that way. Or if someone executes it, it's going to be more robotic than it is their personality.
Right.
And being a neighborhood shop, I really want people to come in to see their favorite people and have the conversations that they have. And it's nice for me to be able to get away and know that people are still getting that there.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I have a similar vein of like, I don't want to make rules if I don't have to.
Right.
Like the rule comes about if it has to come about.
Right.
You know, so, yeah.
All rules all the time. It's me.
I think in certain respects, because while you were saying that, I was like, ooh, if any of my employees listen to that, they're going to be like, James is so mean.
Yeah, they do say that a lot.
I mean, it's part of our job. Sometimes we still have to make.
Yeah.
Some rules, yeah. Right?
No, I definitely am the same way. Like, I try to keep it fun, and like, people are allowed to have their personalities.
Yeah.
You know, I think when you get a new hire, they're like, what's the dress code? I'm like, wear pants and closed-toed shoes.
That's more than my dress code. The thing that's the most difficult with doing events whenever we're hiring, we get the people that are like, oh, it's going to be so much fun, because they don't realize that there's work behind it.
Yeah.
Because their experience is going to events. And I would assume that some of that is the same in the coffee industry, where they're like, it's fun to go get coffee. And we want to create an environment where our employees have fun coming to work and enjoy it and want to do it. But it has to be balanced with them actually doing work.
Yeah. When I interview people, I'm always like, hey, just so you know, it's a lot of work. Like, I know that some people think it's like you could drink coffee and hang out, and you do get to do that, but you're also going to be washing 10 times as many dishes as you think, stuff like that.
I didn't even think about dishes.
Oh my God, the dishes.
You know, on weekends, we have a dedicated dishwasher who's only washing dishes the entire time.
I didn't even think about
that. We're a dishwashing factory on the weekends. Mm-hmm. But it's, you just sit there, three compartment sink, sanitizer, whatever it may be.
Crank it out.
Wait, yeah. With to-go?
I mean, even with to-go, we have a lot right now, but I mean, when we were doing dine-in.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. A lot of broken dishes.
Lots of broken
dishes. And the first time someone breaks something, you're like, it's okay, don't worry about it. I'm just boiling on the inside, but you're totally fine. It happens, because it does happen. But it's all fun, though. I think, like, especially once, I think new hires get, like, nervous, too, of, like, I don't want to screw anything up, but you're like, it's okay. Like, just go with the flow and learn.
Yep.
You know, learn what we're doing, and we're good.
Speaking of fun, let's talk about the flip side of that, which is the not fun.
Dun, dun, dun!
So James and I have decided that he's going to be bad cop from now on, because I'm a terrible bad cop.
I don't think we decided that's a team. She just said she didn't want to do it anymore, which is fine.
And if you ask anybody else, they'd be like, you're pretty good at bad cop. But for this purpose... We have some reviews.
Feeling ready?
I am. Bring it.
All right. I picked this one for a particular reason, and I think it leads into a short conversation about kind of, yeah, anyway, mm-hmm. We'll get into it. 3 years ago. In the world of coffee, you would think that we would have some idea of treating everyone with respect. But unfortunately, this cafe falls very short on treating people with respect. Never will I recommend this shop. Everyone that walks through the door, customer, homeless person, or salespeople, should be looked at as a customer. Your true colors have been revealed, and your bigotry is now known. 1 star. Right?
Talk about intense.
I want to give you time to respond, but...
I would love to hear your thoughts.
I didn't see this beforehand, obviously, but why would the world of coffee give you the idea of treating everyone with respect? Isn't that just like there's so many things with this statement.
Human. Yeah.
Yeah. But tell us about it.
The floor is yours.
So what happened prior to this review is, and I'm linking them, someone came in with samples of rice milk. I can't remember what brand, right? I literally had two cases of rice milk that had expired. So they were sitting in my shop for 2 years. I had gotten rid of them. No more rice milk, not on the menu, nowhere. This person comes in and I was like, we don't do rice milk. And they're like, well, you should try this one. This one's really good. And I was like, we're not putting rice milk on the menu. So we have this back and forth like a couple of times. And she's like, no, you should try it. I was like, I'm not going to. And then she leaves it on the counter, two Tetra Paks on the counter. And I was like, we're never going to use this. I probably sounded even more forceful than I do right now. And she was like, well, no, you should try it. They're really good. And then leaves. And then we get this review. I was like, that's really bizarre. So I did do a little bit of Googling. I usually don't respond to reviews. Most of the times I don't check them because I'm really sensitive and they can hurt my feelings.
They hurt for sure.
Not they could. They do.
They do.
I know. I am really sensitive. So I actually haven't been on Yelp since we got a review that we didn't have enough outlets in the shop.
Yeah.
And honestly, you should rate a place for what it is. If you're a coffee shop, rate it for the coffee, right? If you're a Chicago-style pizza and I'm from New York and I like New York-style pizza, amen. I'm not going to give it a one-star. Rate something for what it is, folks, not what it's not.
Yes. We also have zero plugs, so.
Right? But I did go and look at this person. I think works in the coffee industry. I don't know for sure, but I think it was linked to this person who was a sales rep that I didn't give them the time of day.
Well, because this one's a guy.
Yep.
Yeah.
But it also does say homeless person or salespeople.
Because they're the same.
Yeah.
It burns me up. Like, I cannot express how much that burns me up.
Yeah.
And if I look up this person who left the review on social media, I think they do some work with underprivileged children in some developing country. So I'm like, what kind of white savior complex do you have that you're off saving other brown kids while you're sitting here equating your sales rep to our unhoused neighbors, which you know nothing about of our policies for our unhoused neighbors. Mm-hmm. So this was just your way, literally your way of getting back at us because your sales rep had a bad experience at my shop.
Petty.
Also, I'm working. I'm on the clock. I actually don't give sales rep the time of day because they walk into my shop, which is a retail shop, to take time away from me either serving a customer, doing my side work, or just having a moment to collect my thoughts in between customers so I can help them with their job, right? Like, at least make an appointment. Let me know you're coming in. But if you're a salesperson that's just going to come in into my retail shop, I generally don't give you the time of day.
Preach. It's the most annoying thing ever. Email me. Email me. I'm not talking to you right now. Email me is what I always say. And I always give them a secondary email.
Yeah.
I have a question. As the person that has to go into retail shops and be like, hey, if somebody comes in and they're, so you're telling them to email you, but if they were to come in and say, hey, I just wanted to get in touch with you, what's the best way or things like that, that's a different scenario? Or you're like, do not cross this threshold. This is customers.
I'm a little bit more open to that if you want to set up a time, but it is really hard to switch brain gears between being on for customer service, getting my tasks done, like trying to get all of that done and still being a human in the middle of all of this.
Right. I think part of it too is be honest and straightforward with who you are. Cause I get people who lie to try and get their foot in the door first. Like they lie about who they are. Accept what we say as an answer. Like we don't serve rice milk. Heard that. See you later.
Yep.
Right. And the last thing would be a patron of the business. Don't eat up all my time and buy nothing.
Well, I think that leads into a good point about this review is reviews are for customers. And if anything, you were their customer, so you owe them a review.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, because like a big reason why I wanted to bring this one was because talking about the predatory behavior of solicitation.
Yep.
Right? Like how people will come in and do this. Like, we've gotten reviews left by Uber drivers who are picking up from us. Yeah.
Wow.
Wait, what?
So the Uber drivers who pick up food, they've left us reviews.
They didn't eat the food.
Right. Because we were like, hey, the food's going to take like 2 more minutes. They leave a 1-star. It's happened a couple times during the pandemic. So
anybody that would review any business at all during a pandemic, other than being like, this was a great experience, thanks for saving my pandemic life, should be. Yeah.
All right, let's switch gears.
Cool.
Let's end on a happier note.
And here I am, good cop. I'm not the good cop. It was Shannon M., who has lots and lots of reviews on this review site. 5 stars. Hands down, the best coffee I've had in Seattle. Slow as turtles up a greased hill, as my grandfather would say, but I've driven out of my way, 15 minutes out of my way, on occasion, just to have their delicious drinks.
Well, that's a sweet review.
So it might seem like there are people out there that would be like, my coffee is slow. Like, it takes them forever. If you read this, you would not equate necessarily the 5 stars to that. But I think that this really, really speaks to what your perception is and what you're trying to do in community. That 15 minutes, or not, they didn't spend 15 right. minutes getting their coffee, but that time is part of that community building. So we can have different experiences that still lead to a great experience.
Yeah. Intentionality and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Last question from me, at least, and you know, Amy can interject and talk about her things too. Your Indian food dinners.
Yep.
That's a big thing that I really wanted to get to know, as well as the Maker's Table.
Mm-hmm.
So I know a little bit about that, but I'm not sure if I'm totally in tune. So hit me with that Maker's Table first.
So we have this big table right next to our counter.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, I put it there initially to prevent people from walking up towards where our register is in the early days of the pandemic. And then we started putting some of our coffee bags, like our coffee retail bags, on there. And then a couple of artists approached me, and they're like, we're not doing pop-ups right now. There are no markets. Can we sell some of our products here? And it just grew from there. So now we have like 15 to 17 local artists who sell their goods there. And it's been really nice. So it's like a one-stop shop for some of our customers, especially when you're like, I don't want to go to 3 different places during the height of this pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But we still had folks coming in and getting coffee. So we were able to have little packages, and then they were able to, you know, do whatever. Holiday gifts, birthday gifts, no day gifts during the pandemic.
I mean, it's been over a year, so every holiday has come and gone.
But it's been a really nice way to say, like, these are the artists who live and work in our neighborhood.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I have a brick and mortar, but a lot of people work out of their homes, or a lot of people work at markets, so they're mobile. And they're, right. like, as hard as a brick and mortar retail business is, I think being mobile is just as hard, if not harder. They're packing up every day. They're setting up every day, right? Meeting new people on the go, exposed to the elements. So it's been really cool to be like, there are this many artists and more that live here in our neighborhood that come here and get coffee.
Yeah.
You know, just talk to your neighbor and see, like, what are your hobbies? What is your craft? What do you like to do? You get to know a lot more about people than just what your daily drink is, or right, what your dog's name is, which is a really great way to get to know people. But having been there 13 years, like, you still get to find out a couple new things about these folks that you know really well.
Yeah. There's a micro economy in your neighborhood.
Yep.
Yeah. Supporting that's pretty key.
Yeah.
So what's on your menu for the Thursday night dinners?
I always do 3 curries. 1 chicken and 2 vegetarian options. And I try to keep it as accessible as possible. So they're all dairy and gluten free.
Oh, nice.
And the only thing inauthentic is I don't put cayenne pepper in there.
Oh.
So
for a particular reason?
So more people can eat it.
Oh, gotcha.
Not everyone likes spicy food.
Yeah. That's very fair.
Yeah.
Cool. Do you have any questions or anything?
No, I just feel like it's so much more than coffee.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really appreciate the perspective. I think, yeah, I'm going to think a lot about that, about the whole, like, facilitation of space.
Cool.
Especially as we start to reopen and what that ends up looking like in the next couple months. Mm-hmm. So.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. This was really exciting. Yeah,
thanks
exciting.
For coming on.
Yeah.
It's like it's nice to like officially meet you in person too.
For sure. I know we've been chatting so much.
Yeah. Cool. Well, everyone visit. Dang, I'm going to say it wrong. Makeda? Right. Makeda Mingus. You're on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok.
TikTok to be coming.
To be coming soon.
Look at you two marketing.
Yeah. I mean, you got to support each other, right?
For sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
Leave a 5-star review. This is going to be more than I said, better than I said last time. So leave a 5-star review no matter what. And then just, you know, support the businesses and also the Makers Table and everyone who's on that on there too. And if Amy and I aren't too abrasive, give us a little bit of love too. So.
You guys were real generous and comforting for me. So thanks for having me.
Oh, you were great. I mean, like you were like, oh, I'm awkward. I was like, not at all. So
this was great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.